New York's aging population is only going to grow in the next couple of years with the baby boomer bubble we're in right now. And in recognition of this demographic shift, Governor Kathy Hochul proposed a state master plan for aging in her State of the State address to explore what this could mean for New Yorkers, including the 3.2 million over the age of 65. We're checking in with the Authority on Seniors, AARP New York State Director Beth Finkel. Hello, Beth.
Hello, how are you?
I am good. And we're also joined by the group's Associate State Director, Kristen McManus. Welcome, Kristen.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So in what is described as a first step toward a comprehensive roadmap, Governor Hochul is proposing an executive order implementing a state master plan for aging, which would coordinate state policies designed to benefit older New Yorkers. In and of itself, do you think this executive order is a big deal, Beth, or should I tell my sexagenarian parents to remain calm?
I think it is a very big deal. It is a very bold step. It's something that we've been hoping for a long time, and we have a governor who really cares about aging issues, and she's firmly validated that with the State of the State and her commitment to a master plan for aging for New York State.
Well, then, big picture, Beth, what are some of the key components of a master plan that you think we should be focusing on here in New York?
Before I say that, I just want to go back about your point about demographics.
Mm-hmm.
There's a quarter of New York's population is projected to be 60 or over in just the next 8 years. So obviously, if we don't meet this dynamic demographic change, we're going to be behind the eight ball, as will all those citizens of New York State, or residents of New York State, who are going to have to deal with how to age here. So that's why this is so important. It is based on the fact that New York State is an age-friendly state. In fact, we were the first designated age-friendly state in the whole country. And it's funny how things come around, because Governor Hochul was actually at the ceremony to create New York State as an age-friendly state. And she spoke at that point, which was a number of years ago, about her commitment to this. So it's fascinating to me that, you know, in her first few months in office, she made good on that promise, which is so exciting.
And in terms of that commitment, though, what are the key components that we should be looking for in any sort of meaningful master plan?
Well, we want to look at what the policies, plans, ordinances, and programs could be based on the age-friendly framework, which is eight domains across the whole way we live our lives. So obviously health, but also economic security, transportation, housing, personal fulfillment. So there's eight of these domains that ensure that people have a healthy life, a fulfilling life, and that they can age in place. You know, older New Yorkers built New York State, and now it's time for us to make the commitment back to them so that they can age in New York State and not decide to go to another state. You might have heard that in Governor Hochul's remarks recently, too, about the out-migration of a lot of New Yorkers who are moving out. And part of securing the economic security of New York going forward is maintaining that people who retire here in New York. They keep their Social Security here, and they keep their pensions here. And so we need to make good on the promise to them, but it's also what makes good on the promise to the economic security of New York State and the longevity economy that older New Yorkers bring and keep committed here in New York State and don't bring to another state.
Kristen, it's been about a week since the governor announced her plans for this executive order. Do you know anything about what it will specifically say? Because I don't think it's out yet, correct?
Yeah, that's right. We haven't seen the details of the executive order yet, but we've seen what other states have done with the master plan for aging. And I think a lot of this is going to be in the conversations with stakeholders and taking a look at, you know, where the state really needs to improve in terms of services and supports for older adults that allow them to age with dignity and independence.
And in terms of the mechanics of crafting a plan, because this effort seems largely focused on coordinating state agencies, is this something where the legislature will need to get involved, or is this something where the governor can act unilaterally in terms of honing the state's focus on this one central issue, Kristen?
Ideally, this will be all hands on deck. I think the more perspectives that we have on the way to make the state better for older adults will be beneficial to the master plan in the end. So we look forward to not just the state agency involvement, but legislature involvement and input from community stakeholders and consumers as well.
For listeners just joining the Capitol Press Room, we're talking with the AARP New York's Beth Finkel and Kristen McManus about proposals in the governor's State of the State address designed to help seniors. Turning to some other specific issues dealing with New York's aging population, the governor's State of the State mentions promoting alternatives to institutional settings for seniors, basically ensuring that older New Yorkers can live independently, with the caveat that we haven't seen the executive budget proposal yet. What in the State of the State address or the accompanying proposals suggests that this is, I guess, more than just lip service? Is there anything, Kristen or Beth, that really signals to you that the governor is ready to change up the way we think about housing our seniors and making sure that they can have the resources to remain independent?
Yeah, I think that there's certainly commitments to looking for alternatives to nursing homes or other long-term care facilities, investments in affordable and supportive senior housing. We were also really thrilled to see a commitment towards legalizing accessory dwelling units in the state. And of course, as you said, these are all things that we'll really need to dig into the details once they're available. But accessory dwelling units, we know, are a great way for older adults to keep their independence and stay close to family, or for older New Yorkers to have another stream of income if they have a unit that they rent out, and really just a great way to expand affordable housing options. So we were really thrilled to see her commitment to affordable housing and alternatives for senior housing in the State of the State.
Well, on that accessory dwelling unit front, do you see the legalization of these apartments being something that will lead to an increased housing stock? Or is this more about ensuring that the existing supply of accessory dwelling units are safe and regulated?
It's both. Based on the details that we saw in her State of the State, there's ways to be able to regulate existing units and bring them up to code, but also for allowing people who have residential land to be able to build one on their property. So we can expand the stock of affordable housing as well.
So Beth, as Kristen said, a lot of the issues that we've heard so far from the governor are things that the aging community is obviously excited about, but the devil will be in the details. As you think about what you'd like to see in the budget, which will be coming out potentially as late as January 18th, I think that's when we'll get a budget address, what are some of the conversations that you're focusing on with the executive chamber? Are you still like talking dollars and cents about investments? What's sort of the conversation post-State of the State?
Well, AARP is very concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs. The increase in cost has gone much higher than inflation rates. And if you had to pay for people are complaining about the increased inflation cost of food. It's nothing compared to the higher cost of prescription drugs. It just is skyrocketing. So we definitely have a number of solutions for that we're hoping that will be part of the budget, because we've got to tap down on the high cost of prescription drugs. On top of that, we are very worried about potential utility shutoffs. We're very worried about people being behind on their bills. And then the other piece, which is back to the long-term care and the master plan for aging and how people age in place, you know, the number one supplier of home care in the country, but particularly here in New York, is family and friends and neighbors, caregivers, that informal structure that keeps people out of nursing homes and other institutions. And it's to the tune of over $7,000 a year for to keep a family member at home. That's what people are paying out of pocket to try to help keep their loved ones in their own homes. And so we really would like to see New York State leading with a tax credit to offset this financial burden to family caregivers.
Well, in addition to those family caregivers, there's obviously a demand for a private home care workforce. And we've spoken with Senate Aging Committee Chair Rachel May about this issue multiple times, and she's looking for a $5 billion investment to grow the state's home care workforce to meet the needs of seniors who don't have, you know, loved ones or friends in their lives to play that role. Are you disappointed that we haven't heard that commitment from the governor to make an investment in home care wages? Or is this not the smart use of money that Senator Rachel May thinks it would be?
It's absolutely essential that we have a workforce for home care. We know that there are terrible shortages. We just did a report 2 months ago on rural aging, and one of the number one issues is not being able to find home care workers in rural communities, but it's all across the state. And when you look at it, it's understandable when you look at the wages and you look at the hours and you look at the burden of the work. So this is something that New York State absolutely has to come to grips with, and fair pay for home care workers is the first really major step toward making sure that we have a caregiving workforce that feels respected and feels valued. And the way to do that is to make sure that they are being paid fairly. So we need to get right on that.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with AARP New York State Director Beth Finkel. Thank you, Beth.
You.
And we've also been joined by the group's Associate State Director, Kristen McManus. Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.